in a way of introduction today, there are many things that cause strife in our life. We come here this morning for peace. We don't come to have strife with anyone. We come to God's house to be a place of peace. But during the week, perhaps we've had strife with someone that we know. Someone maybe in our family or a co-worker, maybe even a perfect stranger. If you drive around long enough, you'll find a crazy driver, and those drivers many times cause strife in other people's lives because of many times their dangerous actions. Strife can only come by our own actions or by the actions of others. Either we're the cause of the strife or someone else is. And contention and strife comes by struggling violently for something. And it comes from crossing the purpose of another person. All of us have a purpose in life. All of us have a goal. All of us have a direction. And when we're going in one direction and someone is going in another direction and they cross our path and their purpose is not ours, conflict happens. Disagreements happen. Why? Because someone has a certain set of facts of how something happened, or they think they have the facts anyway, and they're going in a particular direction with those facts. Someone else is going in another direction with a set of facts that they have, but they are in conflict because they are different. And strife ensues. And today we're going to look at three types of contention, or strife, the same word. In that, we can have contention with God. We can have contention with people, but there is a type of contention that God does wish for us to have. But if we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Proverbs 19, verse number 21, tells us something about man's heart. And this is where we begin this morning. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, you follow along as I read. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Let us pray together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we come to a place of peace. We come to your house. We have come to thy word. And I pray that this morning that our purpose would be solely to understand what your word has for us today, to please you in all areas of our life. And Lord, I pray that if this morning the purpose of this message crosses the purpose of another, that Lord, I pray that they would see thy word for what it is and turn to you, to turn away from the purpose that is in conflict with you. Or perhaps some in here today, they have contention among themselves. And Lord, thy word tells us only by pride cometh contention. I pray that that strife would be put to peace and rest. And Lord, I pray that you, dear Lord, would allow us to contend for the faith and that we would stand up for truth. I pray that you would guide and direct us in this message. I pray that you would give me the exact words to say. Oh, Lord, we need thy presence and thy power today. We need thy conviction. We need thy presence with us today. And I pray that you would speak to hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, Crossed. There are times that our purpose crosses with that of another. But what happens when our purpose and our goal crosses that of God's? And that's what we're going to begin with this morning. Because if we have contention with God, then we're going to have contention in every area of our life. But if we have contention with God, we are crossing the purposes of God. And there is a time in a person's life that he comes into conflict with God. Remember, man's heart are many devices, as our passage says. There are many devices in a man's heart, meaning many different thoughts, many different goals, many different purposes. And not all of them come into the purpose of God. What happens when that occurs? What is the solution? His purpose simply is for this. Man, in his rebellion against God and sin against the law of God, has purposed that he should reign himself. This is the sin nature that we have, that we have rebelled against God, that we have sinned against the law of God, and that we have done wicked righteousness in his sight. And his purpose simply being this, to bring all the joy and happiness to himself at the expense of everyone else. You know, if you notice people that say, well, I just want to be happy. I just want to do what I want to do. They can do that, but the natural man and the old man and the natural self, they will do that, but at other people's expense, at the injury of other people, even at the expense of God in their minds. Look at Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 11. They have proclaimed that their purpose and that their direction is fine, and no one else's purpose needs to be consulted, that God does not need to have his purposes accomplished, that God is not real, or that God is dead, or that God is not doesn't have any authority over me and his purpose for my life. But Isaiah 56, verse number 11 tells us this, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. That is the natural way of man, looking out for number one. We hear that a lot. I can't worry about anybody else, but no matter what happens, I need to look out for myself. And that's the purpose of some people's lives, to look out for number one at the expense of their family, at the expense of people they work with. It doesn't matter how you get to the top, as long as you get there, right? But at the expense of injuring and hurting other people, because the only way you're going to be happy is to be at the top. To be in charge, to be the top dog, to be that person. And this is the natural state of man. And God is in direct conflict with it. Because man's purpose is not to accomplish that which he wishes. God, man's purpose is to accomplish the purposes of God. That is what we were created for. Adam and Eve were created to accomplish one purpose, to bring glory to God. To bring glory through his creation, to love God, to serve God. That was their purpose. And when we begin to serve ourselves and we serve our own purposes, then we are in direct conflict with God's purpose for us. This is the overall contention that man has with the rule of God. And only through salvation in Jesus Christ can we bring ourselves into the purpose that God has for us. Man in his natural state does not want any government over him, only that of himself. But man needs a Savior, because man is a sinner. Because of this contention with God, he is in danger of judgment of a real place called hell, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. For the wages of this sin, of all sin, but the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ bled and suffered and died on the cross and fulfilled the purpose of his Father, his Heavenly Father. He fulfilled the purposes of God the Father in providing a way of salvation for mankind, in that he suffered and bled and died to pay for these sins, so that man could go from a place of contention and strife with God to a relationship of peace with God. We have peace with God only through Jesus Christ. It's not through our own works. It's not through our own goodness. It's not through anything else but the shed blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might have peace with God. Amen. And God's purpose in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, his purpose is for all to come to him for this salvation, so that we are no longer in contention with him, so that we have eternal life, so that we may be with him forever, so that we may have a blessed relationship of peace with him. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Look at that in Sunday school. God makes a promise, he keeps it. Amen? Because he cannot lie, he cannot deceive. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Should come to the repentance of realizing that their direction and their purpose is in conflict with God. They are a sinner before God. They are worthy of death before God. But that God has provided a way for them to be saved from their sin. And they come to him and ask for forgiveness of sin. And their purpose then, being a new creature in Christ, should be that of what God has in store. Now, we're going to look at, now that is the overall contention that a lost person has with God, but what about as a Christian? As a Christian, we are to be like Christ. We're not to be in contention with God, in strife with God. Amen? We're not to be. But at times, we do find ourselves there. A Christian is one who has accepted and submitted himself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He has asked God for pardon from his sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He now no longer seeks his own purpose, at least he shouldn't, and his own way. He now has a new purpose that God has for him. This is a purpose that God has for all Christians. Let's look at some verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. This is the purpose for all Christians. If you want to know God's will for your life, here it is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is God's purpose for you, that you would think the thoughts of God, that God would have all of us, he would have all of our mind. We looked at that on Thursday night, that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all of our might, with every part of us, and that God renews our mind. You see that in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. We're going to look over there next. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. And that we have a renewed mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we might have the mind of Jesus Christ. And the mind of Jesus Christ and the mind of God, it is a singular purpose. And that is to serve him. And to bring glory to him. And to see others that are in contention with him come to know the Savior so that they might have peace with God and have this purpose fulfilled in them. And God uses us in that to have our mind renewed. So this is why so many Christians are miserable in their Christian life, because they're saved, but they have chosen to be in contention with God because they are not following God's purpose for them. And we call that not following God's will. God's will and God's purpose for a Christian is to accomplish these things, to have the mind of Christ, to be renewed in our mind. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. Just back a couple of pages. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. The attitude of Christ, the actions of Christ, all of these things conformed into his image. Remember that we were created in the image of God, but sin marred it. But Jesus Christ brings us back. We're to be conformed into his image, restores the image of God that we are created in. Amen. Praise God that we're able to have that. And Romans chapter 6, verse 6, we looked at this last week. Romans 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's God's purpose for us, not to serve sin. That's God's purpose, that we should serve him and not serve ourselves and serve sin. Remember, we should not go back and serve those things that brought us into contention with God in the first place. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because we will bring ourselves back into contention with him as children. Not as those cast out of the kingdom of God, but as his children. And that he will chastise. And there is consequences for that. This is the purpose for every Christian, to be transformed into the image of Christ. Now this is the process of sanctification. And that every day we're to grow, and that each day we're to be more and more like Jesus Christ. More to have his thoughts, to have his image. This is the revealed will of God for all Christians. Like, well, I don't know what God's will is. We'll follow this first. Amen? I mean, young people, I'm encouraging you here. If you're looking for the will of God, are you fulfilling God's purpose here, right now? And God leads as you go along that path. But many times we want to know the answer before we even begin the journey. But we must begin that and live that way and have a lifestyle of this. You know, if you look at a sculptor, maybe you think of the great marble busts of the Roman Empire, and maybe you know of a sculptor that sculpts of granite or of marble, whatever it may be. Did you know that the image of that sculpture is already there? All the sculptor does, the sculptor does not create the image by placing the image there. The image is already there. All he does is take the garbage away. All he does is takes away all that is not needed and leaves only what is required to have that image. In the same way as a Christian, that we have a lot of garbage in our life, a lot of rough edges, and as Jesus Christ, we're to be conformed to that image of Jesus, God the Father. He places pressures and trials and things into our life to chip away that which is waste and garbage so that we may be conformed in the image of Christ. Through pressure, through circumstances, through different things like that. So God brings us about. We see with Job, it was through circumstances. Circumstances were brought into his life so that he might be conformed to the image of Christ. Through God uses people, pastors and teachers, for young people or parents, to form them, to bring them into the image of Christ. But also through adversity, through hurts and trials, even the words of others, though people try to destroy us, maybe a lost person tries to defame a godly person. You know, we think, well, my reputation is destroyed. All these things are destroyed. Remember, God works all things together for good, and that will still conform you to the image of Christ. We think things are terrible, but they are part of conforming us to the image of Christ. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 4. God has a purpose in all things. Proverbs 25, verse 4. Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. So I want to see what you have for me. Show me, Lord, reveal it to me. Through circumstances, through people, through adversity. Now the contention can come with God when his purpose and our purpose collides. When God wishes to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, then we say, no, I don't need that. That's not what I want. That's not what I need. I don't need to be more like Christ. I'm fine as I am. I am as sanctified as I need to be. I'm as molded as I need to be. I'm just fine. I can get along just fine. I don't need any more work on my image. I'm fine the way I am. And when we do that, we stand up in rebellion against God because our being conformed to the image of Christ is only complete when we get to heaven. Amen. So, well, I'm a good Christian. I read my Bible. I pray every day. Praise God for that. And I have grown. I've reached a certain level. I don't need to grow any more. Now, we know one verse, but only by pride cometh contention. And only by our pride does our contention come with God. When we say, God, I don't need any more of your work. I don't need any more conforming. I don't need any more renewing. I'm just fine the way I am. What we are saying is, God, you don't know what you're doing. Don't you understand that I was already a pretty good person and you just need to knock off a couple rough edges and so I'm okay? Oh, some people view their life like that. Well, I'm a good person and I do enough good works and I'm just going to go on in this way. Now, James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Is he adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And as a Christian, we're to have no friendship with the world, with the world's practices, with the world's activities, with the world's music, but most importantly, the world's way of thinking. Oh, the world's way of thinking is messed up. Look at our world today and look how they think. It's messed up. And that, you know, you just look at the morality and the different that you go on and on and on. You can see people's thinking is messed up. It's totally against God. And why would we as Christians wish to borrow the world's philosophies of thinking? The world's way of doing business, for example. The world's way of doing business is to be honest until there's an opportunity to get ahead by being a little bit dishonest. Well, I guess that's okay. Now, I've spoken before about that there's been many a Christian who has failed to pay their proper taxes to the government, whether it be a church or be an individual. Many in ministry are behind bars today because they thought that they were above the laws of our nation. Now, we can debate the validity of taxation here or there. That's not the point. Jesus paid his taxes. Said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar. He didn't say the law is right. He didn't say that it was a holy commandment, but he said, if you've been put under it, you obey it. Amen. Instead of raising ourselves up and saying, well, I know better than the government. I know better than all these things. When God told us to obey the powers that are over us. To obey them. Now, when their purpose conflicts with the purpose of God, when they say, I can't preach, or they say, I can't read my Bible or pray, which are clear commands of Scripture and clear commands of my Savior, then I will stand with my Savior or whatever comes at the government's hand. Well, what I'm speaking of, there are things that God tells us to do. We say, well, but that's not how I get ahead. If I keep a little bit of this money, and that's being dishonest, by the way, no matter how affirmed you are, and, well, I'm right, you're still wrong because it's dishonest. No matter how much we decide, well, this is okay, it's okay to lie a little bit, it's okay to tell a fib, it's okay to be dishonest, it's okay to deceive, no matter how high and holy your reasoning, it's still wrong. It's still a sin before God. And that brings into contention. And when we bring in, but that's a philosophy that the world has. If it's a good reason, if there's a good purpose behind it, it's okay to be dishonest. You know, sometimes they're like, it's okay to lie to, you know, for different things. You know what I feel bad about telling my wife about not telling about her birthday? You know, she asked me, what did you get me for her birthday? You know, and I'm trying to tell her something, maybe it's not true, and I feel bothered. The Lord's like, I shouldn't do that, you know. And I just told her, stop asking questions, so I don't have to tell you, because I'll have to tell you if you ask me. Amen? I mean, I hope that's the way we are. Like, well, I have no problem lying to my wife or my husband. You got a major problem. I have no problem lying to you, pastor. Oh, people lie to pastors all the time. I know that. And I've had people lie to my face about all kinds of things. And you know what? That doesn't bother me because they're lying before God, and God knows. And God repays that. I don't repay that. Now, if you've lied to me and you know you've lied, better come and apologize for it. Because I don't always know when people are lying. I've known when people have lied to me and they decide not to get it right. That's neither here nor there. But this creates a rather large problem when we borrow the friendship of things. We have fellowship with worldly things. This creates a rather large problem when I say, God, I don't want to be conformed in the image of you anymore. I am good the way I am. I'm as comfortable as I am. You know, God said, did not say, thou shalt be comfortable in your Christian life. You know what makes us uncomfortable? It's not God, it's our flesh that makes us uncomfortable. It's our sin nature that makes us uncomfortable. Instead of being conformed to the image of God, the flesh is what fights. Now, if we say, God, I don't want it, you have no right to tell me what to do in that area of my life. You can tell me over here, but you have no, that is personal. I think he made you. I think he has the right to be personal. Amen. This creates a rather large problem. If we say, God, no. Either God must give in or we must. And we know that God is never going to give in, right? Because God is always right. We know that we are no match for God physically or in power or in will. In any matchup in comparison, we do not measure up. The only answer is to give in to the purpose of God. For this is the best possible outcome for our life. Do we see that? That contention with God is not God's will for us. Contention with God saying, God, what are you doing? We must trust that he is accomplishing a purpose in our life. And we waste so much time in strife. It is so much time and effort, many to people, years of their life in strife, fighting, saying, no, I won't do it. And instead of saying, Lord, not my will, but thine, because that was the will of the Father for his Son, Jesus Christ. And that was the words of Jesus, and we're to be like Christ, not my will, but thine. To be conformed into the image of Christ. It's not my job to conform you into the image of myself. It's not my job to conform you into the image of Moses or of David or of anyone else. It is my job as a pastor to give you the truth so that God can form you into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of church. and also to tell sinners that they are in contention with God and how to see salvation from it. That brings us number two, contention with people. Just as a man and God can have a different purpose, so can people. There is a contention that is destructive and sinful, and there is another that is right. We'll get to that in a moment. There is a source of sinful contention that is universal, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. There is a purpose that God has for the Christian in the church. And the purpose of that, of Christians in the church, is that of unity. Look at Romans 12:5. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5. We're going to look at a couple of verses here, and there's many, many more about unity in the Word of God we're going to look at too. I have many more written here, but time is getting away from us, so I will only mention two. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. If we're saved, especially in this local assembly, if we're saved, we are unified, we are one member, we're all part of Christ. We're all saved by Him, redeemed by Him, changed by Him, and our purpose ought to be to live for Him. And in the church, we do that in fellowship together. And you know what? And this is a little thing. You know what? We say that, well, our paths have crossed, right? Oh, I met that person. Well, I just happened to cross paths with them. That's maybe a good way to think about it, but if you think about contention, that's not a good thing. Because when we cross the purposes of another person, contention ensues, or we decide to change our purpose in alliance with theirs. And then we're going in parallel together. And in the church, we should never be crossing the purposes of one another. Only by pride does that come. If we're all following Christ, we're not going to cross purposes. Amen? If we're following Christ, you know what? They say, well, this church, we worship God, we love God, and we're working for God, and yet we fight all the time. Well, someone's not serving God. Somebody is somewhere along the way, you know. They say, well, we love God, and we just, yeah, and then we're over fighting over here, and we say, oh, we love God, Pastor. We love God. No, there's something wrong here. There is unity in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Over and over again, especially in the Corinthian church. We see the church at Galatia, and that they are commanded in every one of these epistles, somewhere there is a command for unity. You know why that's repeated? Because God knows we can become ununified. We can become divided. And that is exactly what happened to the church at Corinth. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Doesn't matter language or creed, or there's really no such thing as race. We're all the human race, amen. You know, we have so much discussion of black and white and brown. We're all created by our Heavenly Father, amen. And we should be unified in that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye be all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Now whose mind are we supposed to have? That of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the mind of Christ, the same mind, and in the same judgment. And we don't make our own judgment, but we follow the judgment of God and His Word. That is how we have unity in the church. And here we see in terms of unity, knit, bond, family, etc. This unification is not of an organization, is not in an agenda, is not in money, but it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our unity comes in. We can be a unified church and have no building. Amen. You can only have true unity if they are truly converted people. Oh, there's only one of two things that happen when there are divisions happen in a church. There's only one of two answers. Either they're saved and they're walking in their own way of pride, or they're not saved. One or the other. And if they're not walking in the doctrine and false doctrine, then they're not walking with Jesus Christ. Either they're saved and they're walking away, or they're lost. There's only two solutions there. God's house should never be a place of contention, but a place of unity. Unity in Christ, unity in faith, unity in doctrine, and unity of purpose. And this is where a lot of contention comes in unity of purpose. What is the purpose of the church? Well, the purpose of the church is to help the needy. Jesus told us to take care of the poor and the orphans and widows as one of the purposes of the church. But what is the primary purpose of the church? Some believe the primary purpose of Christians is to relieve the physical needs of others. That is part. That's an avenue to share the gospel. But the purpose of every Christian is to preach the gospel to every creature. But you know, we think, well, that's the purpose of every Christian. You know, the purpose of every Christian is to follow Jesus Christ. He said, follow me. Follow me. But Jesus went to the poor and the down and out. He touched lepers. He did. So should we. What do you mean? Those that have been cursed by sin and the down and out, drunk in the street, we should go and witness and seek to help them? Yes. That's what Jesus did. That is the mind of Christ. To go and help those who cannot help themselves. To be as the Good Samaritan did. And you know what? We can be so much like it. Well, I'm a Good Samaritan. But if we're to be like Jesus, he went to the publicans and sinners, those that needed him. He didn't go to the religious crowd. He didn't go out and say, well, let's go on visitation at the church down the street. He said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Bring in the lame, the halt, and the blind, the beggars. Those that the devil has used up and misused and left for dead, we're to go and to get for the cause of Jesus Christ. To follow Jesus. That's our purpose. And that's the church's purpose, to follow Jesus. That is why God dealt very seriously about unity in the epistles. Oh, if the church is not unified, the devil loves to get into churches and make them not unified, to bring division and to bring, well, that's not what I believe. Doesn't matter what you believe. Do you believe the Bible? Yes, and you need to believe it. Well, I don't believe that. Then you are causing contention in the house of God because your pride will not submit to God's truth. Amen. We have unity of faith, a unity of doctrine, a unity of purpose. That is why God dealt very seriously about this. This is why we deal very seriously, and God deals with it, with gossip, of dissension. You know what? We have a problem with someone, and we don't like what someone did. But instead of being biblical and going to talk to someone about it and getting things right, we go and tell somebody else about it. Right? And we have added sin upon sin. Instead of doing that which is right and getting right with our brother and sister and say, well, I just don't like them. You know, they just don't look, they talk funny. You know, some people do that. Well, they just don't act right. I don't like them. I don't, you know, and you start to gossip instead of, and why? Because we know we're wrong. Because we never go up to someone, well, you talk funny. We teach our children not to do that, right? But you know what? Well, we just don't like people for any number of reasons. Well, they're just so holy. Bible thumpers. They're just so holy. They live so much by the Bible. I just don't like them. If you're saying that as a Christian, you have a serious problem. You know, what it really is you're convicted that you're doing the wrong thing. Instead of doing that which is right according to the Word of God. And you just love to spread something untrue about that person so that you feel better about yourself. That's why gossip is never to be done in God's house. That's what the world does. The world does that. The world, they whispers to co-workers behind another co-worker's back. Dissension. Well, I don't believe pastors should be doing that. Well, I don't believe the church should be doing that. That's why we go to people like that. But that's why in our church covenant that it specifically states unity. You know, if you're a gossiper or dissenter, you either do one of two things. Get right with God or find some other church to be gossip and be dissenter in. Because we are going forward for Christ. Amen. And if we're unified together and we don't let gossipers and dissenters, because God sends them through the door. Or not God, but the Satan does. God doesn't send them through the door, Satan does. And you know what? If we're all unified in Christ, guess what? They have no ear to listen to. They have no division to cause. You know what? They leave. Praise God for that. Amen. That we stay unified in a purpose. We have no time for contention. But there is one contention that we ought to have, is that of a contention for the faith. Oh, we're to contend with the devil. Amen. Because the devil's purpose and God's purpose are totally opposite. And the devil's purpose is to destroy, and God's purpose is to bring life. And if we're following the purpose of God, we are going to hit smack on into the devil's realm. We're going to run smack into the devil's servants. We're going to run smack into the devil's demons. We're going to smack into the devil himself. And we're going to say, well, we're going to live peaceably with all men. I don't want to offend anybody. And we use God's word and we twist it. And you know why people don't get saved today? We're afraid to offend them instead of showing them that where they are at in their contention with God. They are a slave of the devil, and we're afraid to offend the devil's feelings in sharing the gospel with them. Who cares about the devil's feelings? He has none. Amen? Who cares about false doctrine but the truth of God's word? Amen? And that's what the world's deceived us into thinking this. Now, I'm not saying that we get someone and we beat them down and we tell them how terrible and nasty and how revolting they are. Now, we need to tell them the truth. There's love that tempers our severity. We can reprove and correct in love but tell the truth. And that is the truth that God wishes to bring forward into someone's heart. We're to live peaceably with all men, Romans 12. But I want you to observe something. Romans 12, verse 18. It starts here. If it be possible. You know, some people, they won't let you live in peace with them. Have you ever met somebody like that? Amen? They just won't let you. They won't let you live in peace. You want to, but they won't let you. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And they go and they want to be in contention, and especially over our God. You know, they can be in contention about our opinions or whatever. It doesn't matter. But when they step over the line of blaspheming my Lord, there's going to be some contention. There's going to be some, when they start blaspheming the Bible, there's going to be some contention. I'm not saying screaming and yelling. That's never a reason for that. But we can stand and give God's word and God's answer. And we can stand. Those that in Nazi Germany, they stood against what the evilness of exterminating God's people. They stood in contention because they would not allow. Well, we'll leave with peace with all men. Well, I guess we got to let them do what they're going to do. No, they contended and stood against evil. And as parents and as young people and as adults here today, as God's people, we must stand against evil and contend for the faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, that we fight against the evil of this world, of right and wrong. We bring it down to general terms. Really what we're doing is we're fighting against the kingdom of the darkness, which is the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, there's something about, I don't know, I'm not getting controversial here, but how many of you ever wondered about this, that United Nations, they have a military that goes in, and they're called peacekeepers, right? And they go in with big, soft, fluffy pillows and big hearts and say, hug me, right? No, they go in with machine guns and helmets and grenades and tanks, and they're to keep the peace. And anybody who is going to break the peace, they fight against them. Right? In the same way, a Christian, if we're to contend for the faith, that means we're going to have some adversity. We're going to have a battle to fight. Well, I didn't sign up to fight. We need to have some more heart for the Lord, I think. and that there's some things worth fighting for, and that is the freedom of the souls of people to fight for the truth. Right? That is what we need to do. Well, I would just rather live with peace, well, man, let people believe what they're going to believe, and I'll believe what I'm going to believe. I promise you, you're going to have a miserable life. That does not stand and contend for God and not fight for the Lord. And I'm not saying that we come in nasty, evil, nasty people. I'm not talking about that. That's doing it in the flesh. If we do it in the Spirit of God, we can stand for truth and love and tell people this is what's going on. And you know what? People think that we can love the devil to death. No. He is an enemy, and we think, well, we can save him somehow. Is beyond saving. And not to say that people are not. But people who are so fully given over to the devil and to the devil's purposes, God can save them, but it's by the mercy of God. It's by the mercy and grace of God, and it is our job to stand against such people. And there are people like that that sit in the place of government in our nation. I'm not talking about President Trump. I don't know who he stands for. I really don't know. I pray he stands for right. Amen? Amen? I'm not going to make comment on that, but there are people, and you know that they rule from the shadows and the darkness, as it says here. Rulers of darkness in this world, and they are so given over to the devil, they bow and they worship Satan, and they are Satan's instruments, and they are demon-possessed, and they are going against the Word of God. These are the ones that say abortion is okay. These are the ones that say homosexual marriage is okay. When God calls it an abomination, there is salvation for people. Amen. Praise God for that. But we have to understand we must stand against wickedness and contend for the faith. If you do not contend for it, what will happen? You will lose it. You'll lose the truth. You'll lose His Word. We are entrusted with it. We must contend for it. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? This. Will we contend with God or submit to Him? Maybe you have realized you're a sinner and that you're in a place of enmity, of contention with God because of your sin, and you have never been saved from your sin. There's an opportunity for you this morning to have peace with God through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Perhaps you're saved here today and you are in contention with God. You need to come to Him and submit yourself to Him, to submit to His hand, to submit to the circumstances, to submit to what's going on. As I don't understand it all, but I want to be like Jesus. Doesn't matter what I think, I want to be like Jesus. That is true surrender to Christ. Will we dwell in peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, or do we have contention with them? Oh, it's by our pride or the pride of someone else, but make sure we're doing the right thing. Get that contention right. Get it forgiven and be unified in Christ Jesus in a purpose of following after Him. You know why people get in contention in the church? Because they're not busy enough serving Jesus and His purpose. Instead, they get busy thinking about other people's problems. Amen? Instead of being busy serving Jesus. Will we stand idly by and let others destroy our faith in God? Destroy our children? Destroy others we know? Well, it's just not my place to say anything. God has placed you there to say something. It is absolutely your place. Because God's placed you there for that reason. Will we speak up for the Lord? So this morning, have you crossed purposes with God, or are you walking together? Amen. It says Enoch walked with God. He said he didn't cross God every time he went outside. Every day he lived. He said, well, I just got in God's way. No, he walked with God. And because his purpose was so complete in Christ and in the Lord, God says, come on home. You don't belong down there. You know, and people think of Enoch that he was just an old man. He was middle-aged. He was in his 40s compared to today. He was only halfway through his life. True, people lived almost 1,000 years back then, but it was still halfway through his life. God took him home to be with him. Will we have the testimony of Enoch that we walk with God and we're conformed to the image of Christ? We have the mind of Christ, the actions of Christ, the purpose of Christ to follow him wherever he leads. That's the calling of every Christian. You know every single Christian here is called today? You know what the call was? Follow me. Well, I've been called to the ministry. You've been led to the ministry. The call of God is follow me to every Christian. And wherever he leads, we'll follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. And Lord, your word has been spoken. And Lord, you have been speaking to our hearts, but what decision we make is up to us. And Lord, you never force yourself upon anyone, but Lord, we pray that we would come into sweet communion and sweet rest with yourself, sweet peace, and not be in contention. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct and help us this morning. For Lord, we are so small and you so great, but yet you love us so. And I pray if any this morning they are in a contention, a place of strife with you because they are not saved, they have sin, they are at enmity with you, dear Lord, I pray that they come and be saved. But I pray that any here today that are a Christian and they have crossed purposes, they have not walked in your purpose or in your way, I pray that they would once again begin to walk with you. Lord, I pray for any strife among the brethren, that you, dear Lord, would work in their hearts and that those strife would be healed and peace would remain and that we'd be unified in you and there be no divisions among us, for it is a reproach to thy name to have divisions in your house. I pray that you would guide and direct and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.